You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
What are you even worried about? It's Worry Week on The Wire.
Yes, we got our Worry Week is sex work. The Swedish model of sex work has been adopted by a number of countries, including Ireland, quite recently, and criticised as being unsafe for sex workers. I spoke with Dame Catherine Healy about the Swedish model and its problems, and why decriminalisation is a better, safer model. I began by asking what the Swedish model is.
In 1999, the Swedish government, as you know, we prefer to call it the Swedish model as opposed to the Nordic model, because not all Nordic countries have followed what the Swedes have initiated. So in 1999, the Swedes imposed this model. They didn't consult with sex workers, and they worked with radical feminists, and they decided that they wanted to prosecute the clients and third parties, people like operators of brothels and receptionists and so on. So the model that the Swedish sex workers are having to work in is one that we'd say was really repressive and compromises their safety and health and in all sorts of ways. So you can be a sex worker, you just can't do anything.
So the proponents of this model sort of have a moral objection to sex work?
They really want to see it eliminated, so the end result for them would be to have no more sex work. And of course, you know, in the 20 years that they've had this model, it hasn't made a jot of difference to the amount of sex work that occurs in Sweden, but it has displaced certain communities. So for instance, you won't see street-based sex workers in some areas, and some of them in fact say that they cross over to Denmark to work to circumvent the legislation. So, you know, I know that we've done, have worked a bit with Swedish sex workers and heard them speak and so on, and they're very distressed about the impact of the law on their lives. And you know, like, they're very insecure. They're not allowed to work with each other, as in this country we, you know, have sex workers who can buddy up with each other and or work in a club. You know, they can have a manager in New Zealand. In Sweden they can't. It's all impossible. You know, it's virtually impossible to be a Swedish sex worker.
So does this make it less safe?
Oh, totally less safe. You know, like the sex workers there say that they, you know, they feel impacted even on a daily basis in their personal lives, where if their landlord is found out to be renting to a sex worker who's seeing clients at home, it means that he or she could get accused of supporting something that's immoral, and, you know, the tenancy can be pulled on that basis and the sex worker can be evicted. And, you know, like, so that's a daily reality for them. But in terms of, you know, like if they're dealing with clients who are problematic, they're less inclined, well, they're not, simply don't, they tell me, reach out and report that to the police, because they're worried that the police are going to then stake out their workplace and arrest their other clients. So it's not a good model. It's a very repressive model.
And why do you feel sex workers' voices weren't really heard when deciding on this model?
I think that's an awkward one. I don't know Swedish society, so I do know that, you know, the sex workers said they were just disregarded and not consulted. And even academics who look at the issue report that, you know, there's been no serious evaluation that has any evidence that this model is working in any way to support the safety and the health of sex workers. So we, you know, we've had an examination in this country of the Swedish model, and we've had proponents of it. You know, a few years back, there was a petition that was brought to the New Zealand Parliament, and it was examined and talked about at Select Committee and rejected. And, you know, we're relieved that that has occurred, because occasionally you hear different people saying, oh, we need the Nordic model or the Swedish model in New Zealand, and we'd say, like hell we do. It's very dangerous.
How does it compare to New Zealand's model?
Well, it's not one that has been adopted by the UN. For instance, the UN has looked at the New Zealand model and has recommended decriminalisation. So they've examined it, as has Amnesty International. They had a tremendous debate on this issue and came down on the side of the New Zealand model and decriminalisation, not the Swedish / Nordic model. So, you know, like, I think it's New Zealand's got a lot to say on this matter. We've got a lot of experience. It's 15 years since we went in this direction. And, you know, there are marked differences in terms of my memory. I've got a long memory in terms of sex work, over 30 years. And, you know, the difference in the conditions for sex workers in this country versus those in a country like Sweden or Ireland, other places where the Swedish model has been adopted, it's startling. We've got an integrative model, so, you know, sex workers are welcomed and belong in society and are able to access labour law. In Sweden, they're not welcome in that sense. They're told that they're misfits and treated as people who need to be fixed.
Because sex workers legitimate work.
To be a sex worker in Sweden, that's allowed, but you're just not allowed to operate as one. And anyone who's a operator of a club who hires a sex worker, any client who pays immediately is breaking a law. And that's vastly different in New Zealand. We're allowed to have operators of brothels. We're allowed to have sex workers buddying up and working together with each other in a home-based occupation setting. We're allowed to have sex workers who work from the street and meet their clients in this way. And nor do we, you know, and we're allowed to have clients, you know, people who pay sex workers for their services. So vastly different. And, you know, proponents of the Swedish model, really, I'd say to them, where's your evidence that you're making a difference for the safety, health and well-being of sex workers? And they would struggle to produce any evidence to that effect.
And other countries have adopted the Swedish model, such as Canada and Ireland. Why do you feel that they're adopting this model over decriminalisation?
I think politically it's palatable. It's very easy it's very easy to create and state a whole lot of problems in relation to sex work, and people think, oh my goodness, you know, that sounds awful. For example, you know, people might say things like, there are underage sex workers in New Zealand. Oh, that's terrible. That must be the consequence of decriminalisation. And we'd say no, it's not a consequence of decriminalisation. It could be a consequence of poverty. But, you know, like, you can round up any number of different arguments and blame it on a set of laws. It is distressing to see that countries such as Ireland and Sweden and Canada have gone this way. But, you know, they were conservative governments at the time, definitely in Canada. I know the Supreme Court came out with the advice to the Parliament to say that they should look at, you know, because some sex workers in Canada took the state to court, to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court came out with the ruling to say that the Parliament needed to make sure that the sex workers were safe. And so it was extraordinary that they picked up this other model, which really doesn't support the safety, health and well-being.
Worry Week on The Wire.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.